SMS come in saying about father and their discipline, and how as a young child he would be very disciplined, and it would he would say to the child, I'm disciplining you not because I don't love you, but because this is preparing you for life and understanding what is right and wrong. And the person saying that they still drop tears now when they think of that, the words touch them so much. In 7 days today, they're saying, listen to your father. Kids will benefit if dads turn over a new leaf and read to them. So suggesting that maybe fathers need to spend a bit more time and with their children. And in particular, that quiet time at the end of the day, sitting and reading to your child can improve their IQ and improve the bond between father and child.
Mm-hmm. And these bonds have changed, Suzanne. So if we bring it up to date, family structures have changed, family styles have changed, and that includes divorced parents and stepfathers. Now, that's not to say that children who come from divorced parents should or lack the same quality of fatherhood as they would if their parents had remained together. Remember, husband and wife may no longer be together, but mom and dad will always be mom and dad if their circumstances allow it. And that means when you a certain, you know, situation such as divorce has occurred, there might the roles of the parents can be difficult due to the reduction of in the time that's spent with their children. But through correct visitation rights and setting up frequent contacts between father and child, what we need to focus on is the quality of visits rather than, you know, quantity or the time that's spent with them. So psychologists who have looked at this post-divorce period say that the key factors to contribute to a healthy adjustment to a child so that they can have this regular contact with the father is, first of all, there should be appropriate parenting, means that providing emotional support, monitoring children's activity, there should be discipline and maintaining age-appropriate expectations. So it doesn't mean now that I'm spending time with dad that it's about going shopping and for him spending money on me and toys
treat.
And spoiling.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, compensating.
Compensating.
Yeah.
The time spent with dad should be an extension of the negotiation between mom and dad about how they want to raise that child, not a completely different situation that doesn't resemble what the child is used to 4 or 5 days of the rest of the week. There should be as well enough access to the non-residential parent. It needs to be fair, you know, not 6 months with the mother and then 2 days with the father. There should be a balance between that. Suitable custody arrangements, so regular visits as well as child support payments. There has to be a comfortable house for the father to provide at the times in which the child is coming to visit, a room for them to sleep in or to play in. And all that really needs to be negotiated beforehand so that there isn't this, the child is never caught up in this battlefield between mom and dad, because that's what they see it as. Children don't see it as husband and wife fighting. They see it as my mom and dad are fighting, and I'm probably the cause of this argument and this conflict, and they internalize it, which can be very, very unhealthy for them. So as much as possible in divorce type situations, parental conflict needs to be kept at a minimum. It must be reduced, certainly not in front of the children. So if you do have conflict, do not use the children as negotiation sort of strategies.
Playing, using them, you know, to play with, but also I think just the hearing, I mean, you know, this is always a sad thing. It's the last resort if there is a divorce. And yet, over the years, that has changed as well with regards to the children. So back in the day,
yes,
again, I'm talking about coming from the West, from Europe, and particularly the UK, it was the case that if parents divorce, sometimes, quite often, it was, you know, the father would then become more and more distant in the child's life. Also, we're making a presumption there that the child will go with the mother. But in usual cases, historically, the child would go with the mother, unless there were particular reasons that they shouldn't.
Again, depending on culture and background.
Yes, exactly. And now we're seeing more and more that if you are in this situation, that it's joint custody.
That's right.
Not presumed that the child will be with the mother the whole time. And that absolutely, as you've outlined, outlined there, it doesn't therefore mean that the father has to lose the child in the sense that, that you know, maybe the woman will remarry and then there is another father figure in that child's life and playing the role. And that's something else to talk about as a stepfather. But actually now the way society has changed is that people are more accepting, even though we don't want to say it's okay to get divorced, but it is more, sadly, more common.
Yes.
So we've learned a lot more about it. And at the end of the day, it's about the child's welfare. And then as a father, as a mother, how you can give the best stability to that child.
That's right. Stability being key here, Suzanne. We are not encouraging divorce, certainly, as a society, as a community, as psychologists, but we definitely understand the negative impact it can have on a child's development if they're residing in a home in which there's abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, where there's conflict and trauma, and that it is far better for a child to be raised in a non-conflicted home, in a non-abusive home, even if it requires for the parents to get separated. So key to this is mom and dad will always be mom and dad, but they may not be husband and wife, and to be able to maintain that sort of contact between the parents and the balance between that. Kids are so resilient. They will adjust very quickly if there's structure. If it's random and haphazard and sporadic, the children will develop difficulties. But if you have structure and consistency, and the child can have regular contact, telephone contact, Skype and so on with the other parent as well as the primary care provider, then they can appreciate and benefit from the healthy developmental strategies that other children will benefit from.
That's right. So where in the day there is that image of the father taking the child for an afternoon one Thursday once a month or twice a month and, you know, killing time in the park or whatever. It's very different now.
Very different.
And again, because the role has changed and the role of men and women is changing and evolving.
Yes.
So it isn't so much like, well, I'm at work. How can I take a child and look after that child? It's socially accepted that you know, guys will go and get involved and take their kids and do stuff with their kids, and you know, and be involved in the domestic side as well as the social side.
Yep.
And so again, you know, the spare room there, it's not a spare room, it's actually your child's room for when they come to stay, and it's there and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that respect, that's another example of how times have changed.
Yes, yeah, to the point in which the involvement that you're alluding to, Suzanne, can result in stay-at-home fathers. So it's still relatively a small proportion of fathers, but almost, I think in 2003, between 2003 and 2006, it increased by around 50%. So about the numbers that they're putting on this in the United States, about 64, an estimated 159,000 fathers have chosen to stay home. So being the person who's primarily charged with care, in charge of caregiving in the context of the family. So they're not out there working. They're the ones cooking, cleaning, taking the child to school, picking them up, speaking to the teachers, going on coffee mornings with other parents, and really after school activities, engaging in that. And for many fathers, the decision to stay at home with their children usually stems from, first of all, that their spouse might have a stronger earning potential, or that they have maintained their job, whereas the father may have lost their job, their own desire to serve as the primary caregiver. So it doesn't have to be a drastic situation that has resulted in them deciding to be the stay-at-home father. It can be a choice. Yeah.
My father taught me to be thankful regardless of whatever circumstances one is in. I've never seen him complain with any ups and downs. I've seen him getting through everything positive, being positive and thanking Allah, having faith. My parents divorced when I was 4, but he would come every day between 5 and 7 in the evening. If it wasn't for this, I would not be as confident as I am now. Thank you so much for that SMS, Zara. And then an interesting one come in the last minutes of the show. What happened to that old father figure? Did he get into that third culture, which is neither East or west.
And you know how I feel about that. It's both east and west. You know, it doesn't have to be neither. It can be a combination of both values that we might pick out. Again, that the opinion or perception you have of that father figure varies from person to person, and who we gravitate towards, who we want to choose as an individual who would be the father of our children. You might want someone who's much more egalitarian, so equal in division of labor and attitudes and opinions, or you may want someone who is of a more traditional gender role set of values and behaviors, you know, the masculine figure. So it does vary from person to person.
Yeah. And as time has moved so rapidly over the last few years in the sense of the development and the roles that have changed through societies with regards to fathers, with parenting, husbands and wives, then to the future, you know, and it is what the way I look at it is we've got a wealth to draw on. We've got wealth, we've got experience, and so much different experiences through different generations, through different cultures. And if we draw
migration.
Exactly. And so if you can draw all of those things together, it's exciting. And if you are a new father, if you're embarking on fatherhood for the first time, what an exciting time in your life.
Yeah, really. And if we can summarize with what our friends today, our listeners, have shared with us, I think what makes a good father, if we put it together, is to be someone who shares time with their children, so not about quantity of time, but quality of time, about being a role model, so someone that children can look up to, and it doesn't mean you have to be a superhero, but saying things like, you better not get a credit card or it's going to get you into trouble, you know, and protecting you from financial instability by just that one sentence. Being honest and respectful, I think, fathers who are honest and respectful and consistent with what they share, that always leaves a great impression, and providing a platform in which a child definitely respects his or her father, but at the same time is able to share things with them so that they can get their advice. So respect and not fear.